Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Happy Tuesday on this Game 5 day. Another late puck drop tonight. Puck drop, it says 9 o'clock, but it's really like 9:15. Maybe a little bit closer to 9:30. So get your cups of coffee ready because we got Game 5 going down in Vancouver. Also appreciate everyone for hanging out with us. A couple of power issues may have gone off the air there for a few minutes, but we are back. At least I hope so. We're going to keep our fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. But appreciate everybody for holding with us. Willie Donick will join us shortly from Vancouver. D. Mace is here. D. Mace, how are we doing? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, I'm doing well. Happy Tuesday to everyone. Happy Extend This Series Day.
For Happy the Bring It Back to Nashville on Friday.
Happy Bring It Back to Nashville on Friday day. So it's a great day other than my Lakers losing last night. The series is done. They got beat 4-1. They didn't get swept. I guess that's sort of the consolation prize. You didn't get swept, Lakers.
I saw the mayor of L.A. tweeted out, at least we won the in-season tournament.
Yeah, they won the in-season tournament. They
and
got a banner for that
one. I don't
think
that landed very well with Lakers fans.
Yeah, I don't think it did either. But, hey, half you got to look at it half, you know, glass half full. So, you know, good job, L.A. Lakers. See you next year.
Yeah. See you next. Maybe LeBron, maybe not.
Maybe LeBron. Yeah, maybe LeBron and Bronny.
Do you like his comment that he said about the in the press conference? Somebody asked him, "What's the future with you in LA?" He goes, "I don't want to answer that question."
I mean, he doesn't. I mean, I think he's putting them in the place where they're going to draft his son. And listen, if I was a I'm not going to say if I was a dad because I am a dad. but if my son, what I meant to say, if my son. If he and I were close in age like that, you know, in the football world, if you can play, you know, 25, 30 years, that'd be great. But if not, but I would love to play with my son. I really would. And so I don't, you know, I know a lot of people don't like it, but, you know, if you got an opportunity to play with your son or, you know, whatnot in a profession that, you know, you love and enjoy, then if it can happen, then you try to make it happen. You know, It's what? Nepotism at its finest. So what? You know, at least he'd get a 1 year with his son. So I think that's the beauty. But I think the bad part is, man, what if his son's really not good enough and they draft him anyway because of LeBron? It's double-edged sword.
His son isn't very good, is he?
His son, he's not.
What, like 8 points a game?
Yeah, he's not as. I think he's a good basketball player. But when you start, like, the NBA guys, those are like the best of the best. It's like, you know, yeah, you're good, but are you NBA good? I think Bronny's good, but is he NBA good? I don't know. But he's going to get drafted just like some other guys do. But he's going to get drafted, and he may get drafted in the first round because of his dad. But, you know, you see stuff like that happen, whether it be in sports or in business. You know, you groom your son, and you can hire him if you own the business. Well, in this case, he groomed his son, and he's on the team, and he's going to get him drafted by the L.A. Lakers. So there you go.
Well, I know D-Mays and DJ will be on LeBron watch here over the next couple of weeks. And we are firmly on Predators watch today. Got to win this one. Now, this is we talked all season long. You know, it's not a must-win game because, you know, must-win game is you lose and you go home. This is a must-win game. And Willie joins us from Vancouver. Willie, I wish I could go into this game a little bit more optimistic, a little bit with a more glass-half-full perspective. But after the Predators blew a 3-1 lead in Game 4, when they lost in overtime, when they're now looking at the wrong side of 3-1, I don't feel very optimistic about this team's chances. Whether it's tonight or the rest of the series, if they do win tonight, it feels like it's over. And I don't want to feel like that when it's not over.
Well, I think it's natural to not have a lot of optimism when you're down 3-1. But I think that would be the case with any team that's been down 3-1 or 3-0 and come back and won. It has happened in sports. And, I'll say this off the top. That was one of the more devastating losses I've watched in person of a team I follow. And one that's right up there, D-Mace, is the one you guys lost to the Ravens in 2000. We referenced that game many times where you just walk out of there going, how? What? What just happened? This is the utter shock when you were the better team and you let a team off the hook. And that's just that's how sports work sometimes. You remember the big comebacks that your team makes, and you remember the games like that where you have full control of the game. You know, they had, I thought, beaten the Canucks into submission. I thought the Canucks were kind of saying no mas with about 3 minutes to go. They could not get a shot 5-on-5. They literally could not get the puck down there to get a shot. And then suddenly they pulled the goalie and they make two great plays to get the game to overtime. And then everything turned at that point. So being able to shake off a loss like that is not an easy thing to do. And it would be easy just to mail it in at this point. But what I would say for optimism is that I think the Predators have played way too well in this series. This series has been way too even to be down 3-1. And I think when that's the case, I think you can see a pathway to getting back in the series. But you can't do anything until you win tonight. So they've got to prove that they can shake off a loss like that and come back and play a good game tonight and get a win. And I would say over the course of the season, if you look back through, they've had some really painful losses during the course of the year and come back and won after that. And no more so than the 9-2 game against the Stars on February 15th or whatever that was, when you know they bounced back and played their best hockey of the year. So they're capable.
Yeah, they're capable, but can they get it going? Because to me, once that last goal was scored in regulation, it seemed like they were done. It just seemed like the body language went from, you know, I'm sure we're going to win this game, we're confident, we're going back to Vancouver. I was going to say Calgary. Vancouver, and the series is ours. We've won this game. The series is ours. It went from that to just utter disbelief. Like it was like they couldn't pull themselves out of that shell that they were in. And that overtime, it was just – they might as well have now been on ice, honestly. They really shouldn't have, because they came out and they were not ready. So I'm hoping that – that moment stays there. That moment of shell shock stays where it's at, and they're able to get past it this game. Because the way they look at the end of the game, and I'm not talking about the end of regulation, the way they looked at the end of the game, it looked like a team that was tired and defeated, and they didn't know how they were going to win the next game. That's what it seemed like at the end of overtime. Now, I hope, like you said, it's different, but it's hard to come out of a shell like that when you've basically been the better team in this series, but you're down 3-1. If you're asking me, honestly, this should have been a sweep. It should have been, because they've been the better team, all with the exception of 7 minutes or 5 minutes and 12 seconds. And I don't know how you pull yourself out of that as a team, knowing that you gave all of this, but yet and still you're down 3-1. Because there's what can Coach Bruno say? He can't put any better game plan together, because the game plan that they had was working. So what do you do as a head coach? It's almost like you just got to talk them into forgetting about the last game. Because what can you do from a schematic standpoint? Because they played well.
And I think that they want to forget that game.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like from all of the media scrums post-game, like, Philip Forsberg didn't want to talk about the game at all, not even the good parts of the game. You could tell Gus Nyquist, the look on his face, even when they went to overtime, and especially after the game ended, Elias Lindholm, when he found the net in overtime, you could tell on Gus Nyquist's face that he was just disgusted. I think they want to forget it. I think that team, at least it feels like from their conversations, what they said, just overall body language and vibe after the game, that they've moved on. And I don't think that the Predators are just going to, you know, lay down and roll over in Vancouver. And I don't think that they've, you know, thrown their hands up and said, well, you know, we're down 3-1. It's over for us. Because they can't think that way. And I don't think that that's going to be their approach, because what has been kind of the mantra of this team all season, relentless. I don't think that they're just going to give up when they have an opportunity to win tonight. But I also think that Vancouver is looking at an opportunity to not have to come back here. Like, that's a long flight. Willie, you can probably attest to it. You're probably exhausted. The team's exhausted. That's a lot of travel. And Vancouver's going to be playing for that tonight, playing for the opportunity to not have to get on another 4 to 5 hour flight and come back to Bridgestone Arena. They want to just close it out tonight. They're going to be extra motivated tonight as well, not just the Predators.
I think you're going to hear that probably at the morning skate that I'm about to go over to in a little while here. I'm sure that will be tossed out more than once to Rick Tocchet. Hey, you want to avoid that long road trip back over and whatnot. But, you know, to what Derek said, I do think that's the essence of a competitor in sports. And that is, can you shake off a really devastating loss? Because that's what it was, right? Mm-hmm. It was a devastating loss. They were shocked. When it went to overtime, you're thinking, in this 15 minutes or 18 minutes of intermission, can you regroup from what just happened? And they didn't, right? They weren't able to get going and get any momentum to start the overtime. And it was so fast, that Lindholm goal, that it just completed a hurricane that went through there, right? They had total mm-hmm. control of the game with 3 minutes to go. And then in 4 minutes of play, you lose the game. That is a tough thing to get off the deck from. But that's what, you know, good teams, you know, great competitors are able to do. That's a great challenge of sports. And so let's see what that looks like tonight. You can't try to win three games tonight. So all you want to do is get off to a good start tonight and see if you can win one game. I think that's what you're going to hear from the Predators locker room. And you go back to game one. They were in great shape in game one. They put themselves in very good position. And then in 12 seconds, it turned around. I thought the Predators from that point on were stunned. Couldn't mount a whole lot from there until the end of game one. They came right out in game two, got the lead, and were able to win game two. So every game is a new game if you've got the mental toughness to shake off the last game. And I would try, if I'm Andrew Brunet, this would be Coach Willie's advice and not Worrywart Willie. Worrywart Willie is, you know, just like everybody else, concerned, can they recover from mm-hmm. that? Coach Willie would say, look at the numbers. You guys have dominated a really good Canucks team. The favorite, by the way. The Canucks are the favorite in this series. They're the division champion in the Pacific. They had the better team over the course of 82 games. But for large stretches of this series, they have taken the game to the Canucks. They have allowed the fewest shots by a team for four games in a series in NHL history. I don't know if you guys heard that. The Canucks have the fewest shots by any team in four games of a playoff series in NHL history. That's how well the Predators have defended. So I would cling to that hey, if you play your game, you're going to have a chance to win. And it's just a matter of just making those winning plays, couple more winning plays, and not necessarily goals, but like at the end of the game, managing the game. Mm-hmm. You know, they score one, forget about it. Like, you know, everybody's going to go back and think, you know, Colton Sissons was 3 inches from putting the game away into the empty net, and nobody would have worried about the last 10 seconds or something like that. But that's the tough part mentally that you have to recover from. But you have to try to cling to the fact that when you play your game, you're good enough to hang and beat a really good Canucks team. And that's all you have to try to do tonight, win one game.
And that's the part, Willie, that, you know, just win one game. And we've been, because we talked about this yesterday, obviously you're on a plane flying to Vancouver, but we talked about this, that, you know, the Predators basically each game, probably with the exception of maybe one, let's just give Vancouver one game where they just outplayed the Predators, and it probably wasn't the whole game, it was just in phases, but pretty much they've owned this series, meaning the Nashville Predators, but they still find themselves down 3-0. That's why I said I'm not sure what Bruno can do from a schematic standpoint, because Vancouver's coach is telling them, don't worry about anything. Don't worry. I know we've been through three goalies. I know we're on our third goalie, but don't worry about anything, because this is the part that I'm embarrassed about right here for the Predators. When a team says, don't worry about anything, just keep the game close because they're going to mess it up, that's embarrassing. That's truly embarrassing because that's what the Nashville Predators have done. They've messed up the game. Just let's stay within a goal or two, keep it competitive, because eventually the Nashville Predators will play a three-minute portion of the game where they're going to mess up, and we can capitalize, and they have capitalized on every mistake that the Nashville Predators have made that have caused them to be down 3-1. That's why I'm looking at the Predators like, I'm not sure, because Vancouver's saying, let's just stick with them. Let's just play head up, because eventually, even if we're down 3-0, we got the third period, they're going to mess the game up, and we're going to win. A team shouldn't be saying that about another team. And that's what they're saying. I guarantee you, that's what they're saying about the Nashville Predators. They got a good team. They got a good goalie. But eventually, they're going to mess it up, and we're going to capitalize on it. Because every game that they've won, the Nashville Predators have basically gave it to them.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair. I don't think they've given it to them. I think Vancouver has made big plays when those opportunities have come up. I don't know, you know, and I'll meet you halfway. Are there
when I say give it to him, Willie, I'm just saying that's a figure of speech in sports. It's like, I know they literally just lay down and say, here, take the game. But there, you did things in that game that caused the Vancouver Canucks to come back and win it.
You gave them an inch.
Exactly.
Take
you
a
gave
mile.
Them an inch. You gave them one goal. Then you gave them another.
And I think that's what it is.
Then you kind of froze and you got tense. And then you were not playing relaxed hockey like you were playing prior to them coming back.
I would have to say, I have to give some credit to Brock Besser and JT Miller, the guys that are making the plays, right? They haven't gotten chance after chance after chance. But when they've gotten their chances, they made the most of them. And I think if you break down every goal, just like everything in sports, right, you would look at things on those plays, especially late in the game, the two goals that tied it. You know, were there things that each Predator on the ice probably could have done a little differently? You know, were they a little too aggressive maybe in going after the block shots like they did to protect the lead in game two and maybe overplayed a little bit more, got themselves out of position? Yeah, I think there are definitely things, some decisions that each guy could have done a little bit differently, and you could have found a way to do it. But if everybody was perfect every game, you would never have a great comeback like that. So it's both, right? So you got to credit Besser for making some plays. But I think that's the thing that you can't do now is harp on, well, why didn't you do this? You know, where were the Predators, you know, to cover the rebound, or where was the backside coverage on the second goal? You know, you could sit there and twist yourself into knots going back through that because it's painful, but I don't know if that helps you win game five. You know, I think you've got to learn from it and put it behind you and put yourself in a better position to succeed the next time you're in that spot. And, you know, these are veteran players. That's the thing. That it's not a bunch of kids that went out there and did that. It was the veteran guys on the ice.
And that's what makes it disappointing.
That lost it. Oh, it's crushing. Yeah. It's crushing, right? There's no way around that. And that's why, you know, I wonder about Vicky Woosley, who is the sports psychologist that travels with the team, and there's been great stories written about her. I wonder what her role has been the last couple of days, trying to, you know, get everybody back in the right mindset to be constructive about it. When you feel that, you feel that soul-crushing stuff, right? Just like all the fans. Like the players feel that too, right? There's no question. But can you put it behind you?
And I think that maybe one positive thing is in the Stanley Cup playoffs, one game doesn't necessarily indicate what's going to happen the next game. That it truly is like an Etch-a-Sketch, like Andrew Burnett said, that you paint your little picture, as awful as that picture was in game four for the Predators, shake it off and move on to game five. But I think the most concerning thing to me is that the Predators, I felt like, played their best hockey of the playoffs in games three and games four, and they couldn't come up with a win. And I cannot count on the Vancouver Canucks continuing to not play their best brand of hockey. Because let's be honest, Quinn Hughes hasn't been a massive factor in this series. Elias Pettersson hasn't been a massive factor in this series. And I can't continue to rest on the laurels of those two star players not continuing to play their best hockey. And to be fair, Roman Josi has not been playing his best hockey. UC Saros has not been playing at the level that we are accustomed to seeing UC Saros play in the regular season. So, you know, it's I would say both teams resemble each other. Not that they're not getting the absolute best from their star players. But like you said, Brock Besser finds a way to make plays. Had a hat trick last game. You know, where's that from the Predators? That's what I want to see. But I do want to continue to get into your phone calls on this, your reaction, not just to Game 4, but also, you know, this entire series moving forward. I want to get into one phone call here. Cam's on the line. Phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, guys. Hey. First of all, I'm going to make a prediction on the Predator, but first of all, I was talking about LeBron. If LeBron was not saying that he wanted to play with Bronny, he would never be drafted. He's not good enough to play in the NBA. That's the only reason any team in the NBA will draft him is so that LeBron will pay for them for a couple of seasons.
What's your Preds thought, Cam?
Okay, the Preds thought is if we lose tonight, Saros won't be back next year. He's gone. They will trade him.
All right, well, thanks for your call, Cam. I do think that that's a factor that we're going to have to look into with Saros because put yourself in the mindset of Saros being on a, let's say, 8-year, $8 million deal. That's probably the ballpark of what he's wanting for that second contract. Mm-hmm. If he was signed to that right now, and this is the playoff performance that you're getting from UC Saros, would you be satisfied? Is UC Saros playing like an $8 million goalie in the playoffs? I mean, he pays dividends in the regular season. But I think that what he does in the playoffs matters. What players do in the playoffs matters. When you're making top dollar, you have to show up when it matters. And he hasn't been playing to the level that I think an $8 million goaltender should in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. But listen, I'm going to be full transparent about this. And I'm going to stick with UC. That's just me. I'm sticking with UC. I know he's not playing well, and I have no excuse for him. I can't sit here and try to make it sound make it sound sweet, or you know, I wish there was some type of injury going on that has caused him to play the way that he's playing. I wish there was something outside of what he can do that is causing him to play the way that he's playing, but it's not, and I understand that. But I'm going to be transparent. I'm not getting on UC. Everybody else can get on UC, but I am not. I'm just looking at it from a holistic standpoint. This team has done just about everything possible to win each of their games, and they still find themselves down 3-1. I'm not sure that you can climb yourself out of a hole when you know in your mind we've done just about everything. That's why I said I don't know what Coach Bruno can do from a schematic standpoint because they play well. Willie, you said it. I mean, the shots on net are the lowest that they've been for an opposing team. So they're playing
ever
good defense.
In the league
exactly.
History.
They're playing good defense and everything else.
But they're still down 3-1.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So what can you do as a head coach other than from a psychological standpoint? And then you talked about the psychologist, sports psychologist they have on staff. She needs to be getting her money's worth the last couple of days. She does,
yeah,
seriously.
I have no worries about her.
She's going to start working some voodoo spells.
She needs something because it's not because I look at it from the standpoint of if I felt there was more Coach Bruno could do. Now, the lineups possibly, yeah, but I mean, you risk when you change a lineup, you risk throwing off the chemistry, whatever chemistry each line has built, you risk throwing that off. Yes, Coach Bruno can do that, I understand. But beside that, what more, and I'm not a hockey guy, but I'm asking Willie, like what more can he do as a head coach from a schematic standpoint?
Well, let's get into that coming up next.
Let's come back on the other side. I want to address the Saros question because it is a really big question, and the question of do you change the lineup at all with the series back in Vancouver.
I think
so let's get to that on the other side.
I think that's key because there is one in particular that I'm thinking, all right, you've had enough chances now. You haven't been delivering on those chances. So we'll get into that coming up next. And I see a bunch of phones on our phones and text lines. So we are right to those coming up next as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Andrew, in your experience as a player and a coach, when you're on a team facing elimination, what have you found to be the best approach?
Well, I think sort of etch a sketch, you know, goldfish kind of mentality. And you go in and you had to win a game in there regardless. And you just go win one. Everything is, all the focus, all the effort is just about tomorrow night. Doesn't matter how you got here. This is playoff hockey. Things happen fast. Things change fast. And let's change the narrative tomorrow.
Etch-a-sketch, goldfish, short-term memory. You know, whatever coaching cliche you want to use, the Predators are going to have to take that approach. And frankly, I feel like they already are. I think that they want to forget about Game 4 as quickly as they possibly can, but they've got an opportunity tonight. Game 5 in Vancouver, 9 o'clock puck drop, but probably more like 9:15, 9:30. So get your coffee in. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, Willie Donick joins us from Vancouver. I do want to get into the discussion of, is now the time that you make some of those changes? We talked about this early in the series of maybe a player that didn't look very good. Tommy Novak has been probably the poster child of the roster change conversation. And I would always couch that with, well, be sure that you're making that change at the right time. You don't want to make a change too quickly and go away from what got you there. We're now 4 games in, and I feel like now is a fair conversation and a fair time to say it's all in on tonight. It's a must-win game. Is tonight the night that you push all the chips in the middle of the table and start to make some of those changes? I do want to get into that, but first I want to get into some of your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get into your Preds thoughts all show long. Gover's on the line with a Preds thought. What's up, Gover?
What's up, guys? I haven't called in a while, but I've got to pick D-Mace's brain. D-Mace, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I know football players don't play in best of series. Okay, I get that. But you are a former pro athlete who was around a lot of different personalities in your various locker rooms. So you're the closest person we can ask that is not an invested party, if you will. So Predators are now 3-1. But again, if they win. And then if they win that game, they have to travel all the way back to Vancouver to try to win another game. So my question is, what percentage of guys that you played with would have already been looking not forward to the summer? I'm not saying it that bluntly, but I mean, what percentage of guys that you played with would not be in the balls to the wall, absolute maximum energy, knowing that that is the landscape of the series, right?
Oh, wow. Thank you for the call. Some of it I heard, some of it I didn't, because he was kind of breaking up in and out. But the gist of it was, I think it was saying how many of the guys that I believe that I played with would basically melt in if they were in this situation that the Predators find themselves in. I would love to believe it would be 100% of the guys that wouldn't melt in, but I understand that personalities are different. People, you know, investments are different. So I'm sure, because hell, listen, I've seen where, you know, we've been out of the playoffs by, you know, the 12th week and guys change their habits on, you know, what time they come in, you know, what time they lift weights. It's like they're lagging behind. It's coming into meetings a minute late or 2 minutes late.
What is this all for?
Exactly. So that I have seen. So I can't say that, as much as I would love to, that 100% of the guys would just say, hey, listen, you know, nothing else matters but the next game, especially in a situation like this. So, you know, I think majority of the guys would, you know, look at it from the standpoint of, you know, we got as long as we got another game, we got an opportunity to extend the series. That's as long as we got an opportunity to go back on that field, we got an opportunity to extend the series. And we're going to take advantage of that until we can't take advantage of it no more. I do believe that majority of the guys in the locker room would feel that way. But I'm sure there will be outliers that would be ready to get, you know, on a plane and go to Cancun. We all heard, we all know the 1, 2, 3, Cancun on 3. So we all know about that. But I would tend to believe that majority of the guys would, you know, think, hey, listen, let's give it our all and see what happens.
And look, there's one. It's one thing if you're out of the playoffs, you got three games left in the season, you're kind of mailing it in. But it's a completely different story when you're in the playoffs and you're down 3-1 and you are fighting for your lives. Yeah. Like, that, I think, is a different story. But again, the Predators head out to Vancouver for Game 5 tonight, down 3-1 in the series. It's a must-win. You lose, you're out. Cancun on three. So, Willie, is it time for lineup changes? I think that the first person that comes to mind when we talk about potential lineup changes is Tommy Novak, that he just hasn't been acclimating to the speed and the physicality of the playoffs, that he hasn't been a non-factor, really. It's been more so like he just hasn't been very good in this series. And when you're facing a must-win game, an elimination game, you need production up and down the lineup. Is it time for lineup changes tonight?
Well, I think you hit on the one that I think they would have to contemplate. Honestly, I don't know that you would change anything else. I think you might see a bigger, stronger centerman in there, especially with the series back in Vancouver. It was lopsided 5-on-5. It was flat out lopsided, the Predators taking the game to the Canucks. Now, the Canucks defend as well as any team, as we've talked about. They make it hard to get to their goalie. That's why they've been able to sneak wins with their second and third goalies out there. And those guys have played pretty well. Can the Predators get a little more quality chance? Can they make another play or two where it doesn't matter who the goalie is? That's, I think, what they're looking for offensively. But I think it's fair to say that in Vancouver, it's going to be harder to dominate 5-on-5 like they did in Nashville with the matchups, the crowd, all of that. And let's hope that they can continue to do the things they did well. But Novak is a playmaker, but he has not been able to really get himself in position to make very many plays in the series so far. So I think they might take a look there. But I don't think you're going to see any changes beyond that. I think that's the one that they might look at, and I don't know. They could come back with Novak tonight. We'll find out when we go over there. But for Grover's question, I'm not worried about that at all, the mail it in thing. I think if they had that gene in them, they would have mailed it in when the U2 trip was canceled. I think if they had that in their DNA, they would have checked out on the season right then and there, and you would have seen what they're made of. But I think that told you everything you need to know about this team. I am not worried about that in the least. If they go down tonight, they're going to go down with their best effort. And they could lose 5-0 tonight, and I still would not question their effort and their commitment, their standard to be the best they can be. It has been a great season, a season I didn't think they were capable of, especially, and I'm going to tie it in with the Soros question, in a season, if you told me before the year that UC Soros would have the lowest numbers he's ever had and they're going to still have 99 points and get into the playoffs, I would have said, how are they going to do that? I don't believe you. But they've done it. The Soros question will be a big question in the offseason. And what happens tonight and if they can extend the series will go into their evaluation of Soros. There's no question about it. And he's not coming off a great season. But it was going to be a question no matter what the outcome of the season were. They were going to have to address his contract this summer anyway. So that is coming, right? So get ready for a preview of coming attractions. We'll have plenty of time to discuss that.
And I'm reluctant to get too into that conversation right now because we got a game tonight. Like, I don't want to talk about the future. I don't want to talk about contracts while they are still firmly in the playoffs, but it is something to keep in mind and something that will absolutely continue to get into in the conversation once the Predators are no longer in the playoffs. But it is something to keep in mind, and I think something that's probably at the forefront of Barry Trotz's mind. What you do in the playoffs should matter. It should play some sort of, some sort of role into how Barry Trotz wants to build this team for the future. And look, if they go into this game and just roll over, and I don't think that they will, but then you got much bigger problems on your hands. If you go into a game 5 facing elimination and you just throw your hands up and give up, that's not why you bring in the serial winners. That's not what we've seen from this team the entirety of the season. But I think that there's never been a question of effort from this team, at least from me. And I don't think from anyone. Look at that Vegas game when they came back and won it in overtime. that's not throwing your hands up. And when it would be so easy to say, okay, we had a great winning streak and we're just going to, you know, we're not going to win this one. No, I don't think that this team has that in their DNA. But I will say, Willie, one thing that concerned me in game four, I think we saw it in game one as well. When they had that comfortable lead, 3-1 in the third period in game four, I felt like they started to play tight. Not that they gave up, not that they threw their hands up.
What? Tell me where you saw that.
Once Vancouver scored to make it 3-2, I felt like they played nervous. I felt like they played not to win, but to not lose.
I thought you were talking about when they went up 3-1, because they completely dominated the full. After they went up 3-1, I thought they continued to push. Would you agree with that?
100%.
Vancouver didn't get a shot. So we're talking about with 3 minutes left.
I'm talking about, when Vancouver made it 3-2, because I'm saying you go into the third period up 3-1, you're feeling good. Then once Vancouver scored to make it 3-2, I felt like everybody got a little tight. Everybody got a little anxious.
That's natural. But they, I thought they, you know, there was a lot of time that went off between, so it was 2:49 left. Is that right? The goal was at 17:11. Does that make 2:49 left when it became 3-2? So they got from 2:49 to 6 seconds. And they didn't give up another shot. There was no shots in between. So they defended well there for 2 minutes. They had the goal right there, wide open, and Sissons missed it. I think he's going to make that 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, and then we wouldn't even talk about the last 10 seconds. So I thought they did fine in between the two goals. Mm-hmm. It definitely the energy changes when a 2-goal lead goes back to one. They always say it's the worst lead in hockey, a 2-goal lead, because as soon as it becomes one, everybody does get much more nervous. Oh, it's only one.
Yeah.
I think we can pick apart everything that happened in the last 3 minutes until we're, we could overanalyze that. I didn't think that. I thought they handled it, other than the two plays, just fine. They had opportunities to score into the empty net. They had the one in particular, and they just didn't do it. But I don't know. I think we're nitpicking a little bit if we're getting into that part, because I think the biggest part was that when they were ahead 3-1, they didn't nurse the lead. They were taking the game to Vancouver. If anything, you could criticize them for not getting the fourth goal. That was something that Roman Josi said after the game. We missed the chance to make it 4-1. And really put it away. Like, it would have been game, set, match. I don't even think Vancouver would have bothered to pull the goalie if they got it to 4-1. That's what I would be looking at.
Yeah.
Is how do you get to that mode? When they started stringing together wins, we talked about this team all year long. They've gotten plenty of scoring chances, but they've had some drought scoring. But when they've been red hot, all of a sudden the Michael McCarrons, the Kiefer Sherwoods, the Colton Sissons, those guys start scoring, right? And all of a sudden you're getting 4 or 5 goals a game. But they are not great. They don't have a ton of finishers on the team other than Forsberg, Josi, and to an extent Nyquist and O'Reilly, right? But that's kind of the weakness. That's what they want to upgrade in the coming years.
Well, I understand what Caroline is saying, because it happened in game one where they're up 2-1 entering in the third period, and then Vancouver reels off 3 goals and they end up losing 2-4. Then it happens again the other day. These are things we do need to be concerned about. They may be small things that Predators may be playing well throughout, majority of the game, but there are these spots within every game that they have that, for whatever reason, I don't know what goes on, but Vancouver sure does find a loophole in whatever they're doing and manages to come back. So we can say, I'm not, but it's happened before. Mm-hmm. So if it's happened before, this is the second time. What's to say it's not going to happen a third time if you don't take care of it? So I am a little bit concerned about that.
They've had a lot. People have pointed out they've had a lot of 2-goal leads in games that they have lost, especially most of them were early in the season before they really found their groove. But unfortunately, it's rendered itself here in the series where they've had lapses and they've given up 2 goals relatively close together. I would 100% agree with you, Caroline, if there were a barrage of shots in the last 3 minutes where all of a sudden they stopped trying to push. But between the second and third goals, I don't think there was a whole lot that they gave up. I thought they kept going in the right direction. And it was just unfortunate. The two plays, really the three plays, the two goals that went in and in between Sisson's missed opportunity to put it in the empty net. Those were the three things that all went Vancouver's way.
And that's all it can take in the Stanley Cup playoffs. 12 seconds in game one, 3 minutes in game four to blow a 3-1 lead. But I do have to say, I can't put all of that on Colton Sisson's. I mean, it was like pitchforks and, you know, lanterns coming after the Colton Sisson. Like, there's a lot of missed opportunities. Obviously, yes, that empty netter, you want to see him put the puck in the back of the net, and maybe we're talking about a 2-2 series instead of a 3-1 series. But it's not just Colton Sisson's. Missed opportunities around.
Oh.
But those are things that he, again, I go back to this before we go on break. Those are goals he has to make. I don't care what nobody tells me. I know, like I said yesterday, Caroline, I know it was a hard goal. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Willie couldn't do it.
It's not as easy as it looks.
Exactly.
It's not, but he's
a professional player.
Right.
And Willie said it. 9 times out of 10, he's going to make that goal. So I got to believe he should have made – he more than anybody else. The game wasn't his fault that they – it wasn't his fault that they lost Sissons. It wasn't because they were still up. But I guarantee you Sissons is sitting back like, damn.
Oh, I bet he's miserable.
I had an opportunity to end this game, and I didn't. It wasn't his fault, but he feels that he cost them the game. He's a competitor. All competitors – think that way. If you had an opportunity to sort of end the game, then and you missed, whether it be a catch on a touchdown, a catch on a first, I mean on a third down, or missing a wide open net, it was a difficult shot, but he should have made it. That's the way I look at it.
Fair. It is a game day. So it is your day. So we are right to you coming up next, right into your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have a thought, Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We'll catch up with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, at the top of the hour. But now, right to your thoughts on the Predators Game 5 tonight. Willie Donick joins us from Vancouver. Ray is on the line with a Preds thought. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing good.
Just quick thoughts about the Preds. I hear so many people for the way he's playing right now, but here's some things that we've got to consider. You know, during the regular season, you're playing a wide variety of teams. You're playing some of the lesser teams. You're playing some of the upper teams. But right now, you're playing an elite Vancouver team game after game after game. If you watch the goals that they have scored, I don't know if there's necessarily been a quote-unquote weak goal in the bunch. You've got Vancouver that has 4 or 5 of elite players in this league. You have 3 guys that I think were in the top 20 in points. You have 3 guys that were in the top 20 in goal scoring. And you're facing these guys game after game. They're moving the puck side to side really well. And a goalie that has to go to his left and then immediately has to try to shift back to his right or vice versa, 9 times out of 10, these guys are going to hit the net and they're going to score on those plays. And that's what they're doing. And we have had some bad breaks, you know, rebounds, block shots that are going right to their guys and they're picking, you know, they're picking up the puck and putting it in. But I don't think we've had any weak goals. Also, we've been playing great, you know. Like we know, nobody gave us a chance all season to make the playoffs. We got in the playoffs. We're playing an elite team. And again, we're playing an elite team game after game. And we're playing well. Like everyone has said, we easily could have been up 3-1 instead of down 3-1 in this series.
Yeah, so, thanks. All great points. And thank you for your call, Ray. To the point about nobody expected us to be here, I don't want to hear that because, like the caller just said, you did have every opportunity to be up 3-1 in this series. And it was 12 seconds in game one and a couple of late goals in game four that took it to overtime and you ultimately lost in overtime. But it, a couple of things happened here and there and you're up 3-1. So I don't want to – it's not like you're just getting walloped and dominated every single game. This is a very evenly matched series. So I don't want to hear we're not supposed to be here or nobody expected us to be here.
Because you're here now.
In the grand scheme of the season.
It was true before the season. And it's I think it's still true now. But I think when you're in the trenches of a series, you're definitely trying to say, well, how have they stacked up? And I do think, you know, if you're just being conservative, the series probably ought to be 2-2 when you get down to it. And I think you could take issue with the first goal that Saros gave up in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I don't think there's been a soft goal. It's been a weird series to evaluate a goalie when you face so few shots. I think UC Saros has thrived, as crazy as it sounds, when he gets a lot of shots. Sometimes you see his greatness in games where he's tested 40-some-odd times. I think it's a very big challenge. Chris Mason points this out a lot during broadcast. When you don't see a shot for 10 minutes and all of a sudden you see a really tough shot, like the caller was saying, cross-ice passes, lateral movement involved, sometimes that's a tough way to have to play goalie, but that's the job, right?
That's what you get paid for. But yep. Again, I'm not. I don't want to get on. I told you. I am not addressing Saros. I think Saros is fine. Does he need to play better? Absolutely. But I'm not going to address that. But to what Caroline was saying, Willie, I mean, yes, it comes to a point where you have to forget about we wasn't supposed to be here. I guarantee you the Predator players are not saying we're not supposed
Absolutely.
To be here. So with that being said, they have to find a way to not just win this game, because I think every game that they play, well, I know they've been in a position to win, probably with the exception of game two. But every other game, they've been leading going into the third period, or they've been dominating the game. Just, you know, the score may be close or tied, but they've been dominating the game. So if that is indeed the case, what is it that you need to do further? This is why I'm concerned, because they have played good hockey. If you didn't know the Nashville Predators record and that they barely got in the playoffs and you were just watching this game,
I don't know
you
if they barely got in the playoffs.
No, what I'm saying is they didn't have to go on that 18-point run mm-hmm. to basically put themselves in a position where they separated themselves from the other few teams that were sort of bunched in there, you know, yeah. fighting for that last.
Separated,
right.
exactly.
They separated from the pack.
They absolutely.
Separated.
So you've done that. We understand. We don't want to hear no more, you're not supposed to be there, because they're there. They did everything they were supposed to do to get there. And if you didn't know their record, judging by this playoff series, you would think the Predators were the better team. But for some strange reason, they've given up opportunities, or they've given Vancouver opportunities to tie and then take the lead, whether it be in overtime or in regulation. And to me, that's the frustrating part. And
yeah,
I'm sure that's the frustrating part with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's got to be the mentality is, look, if you're in that locker room, you say, guys, we played way too well to go down in five games. We've done too many good things. Let's button up the little details, right? We need one more winning play, whether it's one more save, whether it's focusing and making sure you hit that empty net, whether it's you get that window or you get that one chance to score, you bury that thing. You don't miss the net. You know, and everybody wants that, right? But that's – or mm-hmm. or it's also the focus when you're trying to protect the lead. Am I blocking the shot? Let's not overplay. Let's have that right mentality. Loose and focused. That's all they have to do. But it's easier said than done, right? Vancouver's a really good team. You never know what's going to happen in the next game.
Willie D, you're headed out to morning skate. So have a great call tonight. We're sending good juju your way.
All right, please do. Please do. Let's see if they can survive and come back and see what happens in game six.
Is it cold up there,
Willie? That's the goal. It's pretty cold.
You look
it's
awfully bundled
cold.
Up.
Yeah, you do.
Well, yeah, I'm about to walk over to the rink. It's mm-hmm. it's beautiful. It's not raining, thank goodness. That's always a concern in Vancouver. But
what's the temperature?
Yeah, it's a little chilly. Let's see what it is. It's in the 40s, I think.
Hey, Willie. It's like yeah. 70, 80 degrees here.
It is officially 47. 47. So
nice spring day in Canada.
I'm going to layer it up.
All right, Willie. Well, we appreciate your time this morning and hopefully be talking about some good news tomorrow,
yes.
But we shall see. Have a good call tonight.
Think positive. Okay, guys.
All right, Willie.
Coach Willie.
Is the game on, and I meant to ask Willie, is the game Bally tonight as well?
It'll be on Bally tonight
yes.
as
right,
well.
It is on Bally.
Yeah. Okay, good.
All right. Tim Hasselbeck, Our friend, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. We'll get Tim's reaction to the NFL draft, his thoughts on the J.C. Latham and Tavondre Sweat picks. We'll get into that coming up next with Tim, Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.